listening to Fox Sports Radio. Radio. This is Straight Out of Vegas. With the voice of Vegas, your host, RJ Bell. The pregame show America has always wanted. I doubt the future. I doubt the future. From the Vegas Strip, here's RJ Bell.
You heard it. I'm RJ live on a Friday, 200 stations nationwide. 6 o'clock Eastern right now, drive time, 3 o'clock here in Vegas, and it is pick. Palooza. What does that mean? It means it's Friday. There's a weekend of action, and we're going to give you picks, and more picks, including the famous Colin Cowherd pick number 6, the world premiere, right here, bottom of the hour. Full house in studio, pros who know, Brad Powers, all the college knowledge, Steve Fezzik. It's pretty good at the NFL. Would you agree?
I think you might be understating slightly.
Sports bettors listen for the money. Sports fans listen to no more than their buddies. My personal promise, we will deliver the Vegas truth to you. You cannot have pros without Joes. He's in L.A. He's Jonas Knox.
Always good to be here on a Friday, RJ. And we start on Straight Out of Vegas with the beginnings of Week 4 in the NFL. And it started in Green Bay, where the Eagles last night on Thursday Night Football on Fox took care of the Packers 34-27. Green Bay falls to 3-1 on the year.
We're going to start with a Vegas perspective that I think colors any discussion about last night's game. And then we're going to rattle through the obvious stuff. And then let Fez woo us with his superior abilities in the NFL. First off, as we talked about at length yesterday, Thursday home teams have a big advantage. Short rest, less prep time. Thus, if you have to travel, it takes up a greater percentage of your prep time. Now, if the home team is favored, historically that's even better. And if the home team is playing against a non-division opponent like Philly to Green Bay, 70% winners over the decades against the spread. It's almost unbelievable. So the fact that Philadelphia won, the starting point is it's more impressive than most sports fans would understand. Now, what's not as impressive, at least statistically, at least on the field kind of stuff, though ultimately wins and losses matter, but it's our belief, in fact, the very premise of what we do in Vegas is based upon the idea that the stats tell the truth. And if the stats and the scoreboard are mixed up, if they contradict, then trust the stats long term. Now, I get it. The old saying is, in the long term, we will all be dead. So at some point, you got to kind of deal with reality. And I think the reality with the Eagles is this wasn't a must win, but this was such a key game for them. And the fact that they gutted out this win, I'm super, super impressed. Now, if you look at the numbers, though, Eagles, 7 less first downs, 7 less. Yards, 155 less. The Eagles committed an additional 43 yards in penalties. So that's another 43 yards to their disadvantage. But they won the battle that matters most, though it has a lot of luck in it, turnovers. In the NFL, the winner of the turnover battle covers the spread 77% of the time. They won 2-0. Now, the Eagles ran the ball effectively, 5.3 yards per rush, averages a little over 4. That's excellent. Oh, by the way, speaking of average, Green Bay less than 4 yards rushing per attempt. And Fez, we saw it at the end. They had, 6 cracks inside the 10, and they didn't run the ball one time.
Yeah, they did not trust, Green Bay did not trust their running game at all.
Okay, so do you disagree with the framework? That's where the other shows stop. That's where we start.
Excellent framework.
I agree. Now, what else should we take away?
You know, I actually believe the final score in this game more than the stats, and that's an upset, RJ.
Well, I got to tell you, I've never heard it before. So I'm listening.
Major upset.
I am listening.
So you made the great case for why Green Bay dominated the stats. Hey, they should have won. I can make the case that let's put an asterisk by those stats because the Eagles controlled the line of scrimmage. RJ, you referenced that yards per rush stats. And, hey, they sound not that far apart. Green Bay a little less than four. The Eagles 5.3. But a big part of those rushing stats for Green Bay were Rodgers scrambling. If you take his scrambling out and just look at the head running back for Green Bay, he averaged just over 1.5 yards per rush. He could not run a lick.
Okay, so but if anything, though, that's Aaron Rodgers. Right? Like one of the things I'm hearing in the Cam Newton analysis, and I think they're right about it, is if Cam isn't running, if he can't run, even if his arm's 100%, he's much less effective. And I think Aaron Rodgers is the same way. He doesn't run a ton typically, but when it's 3rd and 11, you need that first. He can make the throw, but he can also scamper for the first. So to me, in a weird way, it's almost like saying, well, you know, Tom Brady didn't run. He just sat back there and threw. It's like, well, that's what he does. This is what Aaron Rodgers does. So I guess I agree with you in one way and disagree in the other. I agree that it makes Green Bay's rushing attack other than Rodgers look even worse, no doubt. But it doesn't really change the fact that Green Bay dominated the stats because Aaron Rodgers running is part of their game.
Yeah, I do agree with that, but I have major concerns about what Green Bay's running game is going to look like going forward. There were just some key injuries in this game where Green Bay's number two running back, the better blocker, Williams, went out, and their right tackle, Bulaga, went out as well. I think we're going to see Green Bay really struggle to run the ball going forward.
Yeah, so let's check those injuries for next week. And again, Bulaga's got a decently sized name, but not someone you'd be thinking, uh-oh, I can't bet the Packers without checking on Bulaga's status. So it's good that we mention it. That's Steve Fezzik. I'm RJ Bell, straight out of Vegas, wrapping up Thursday Night Football. Now, you made a really good point. Is the Eagles' injuries at wide receiver problematic last week? We thought problematic here. They were getting a guy back, but really not much performance at all from the receivers, which makes, again, that win, that gutty win, so impressive.
Exactly. Just about 50 yards from the Eagle wide receivers, and anyone who saw their number one wide receiver, Jeffrey, he was gutting it out. He clearly was not 100%, so almost no production for the Eagles from their wide receivers.
Now, I was skeptical of the narrative, and I had my double historic first time ever two bets yesterday on the game. Not parlayed. We were very specific, right, Brad?
Yeah, you were.
And Green Bay was one of them. Loser. I know that's very unusual. And over, which was easy. So this is the way it is if you bet smart. The winners are easy. The losers are coin flips. Maybe not a coin flip. If it was a misjudge, I think we were, what, 40% with Green Bay? Because even if they tie, you know, when you're laying four, yeah. So let's just say that was a bad one. But again, I was impressed. I mean, the Eagles just, in a weird way, if you look at the stat sheet, it's kind of hard to understand how they did it other than the turnovers, which again, if you're giving the ball up twice, and remember, Rodgers did this both times, gave up the ball, fumble, late interception. I guess that's the same as giving the ball up on downs effectively.
Well, it was second down, though, and they're on the They're on the 2 yard line.
Well, that's a good point. Yeah. See, I forgot that was second.
So you were
down.
A monster favorite to get into overtime. They score about 80% of the time, at least there.
Yeah, but still, in overtime, you're an underdog at -4. But let's just say this: when you're +2 in turnover or -2 in turnovers, if you would have told me that, I wouldn't have bet a dollar. So if anything, Green Bay probably exceeded expectations when it comes to how they performed, except for the turnovers. Last thing on the game, Fez, I was skeptical about the offense being so bad for Green Bay and the defense being so good. Now, you've been a fan of that defense. I think you read somewhere about the Smith brothers. That's a name you can remember. So, like, it's really stuck in your head. And then they had a few.
And all the sacks they're getting as well.
Well, hold on. You were excited about the Smiths before the sacks.
Yeah, I like Amos also because he's got a cool name.
Oh, so now he's showing you he knows their first name, which was an upset.
No, that's the last name of their safety.
There you go. Oh, so that you're almost like a child at the horse track. Like, he's like, the little girl is like, daddy, daddy, that horse has my name. Bet $10. Like, if you like the names, you'll pay more attention to
it. It's certainly easier to remember them.
Do you ever see before the game if they go to the restroom like some people do with the horses, trying to use that as part of the handicapping?
If it wins, I'll incorporate it.
So do you still feel the problem with Green Bay is going to be the offense? And that D is just so good, they might have to carry him.
Well, I think the D, we're going to stop talking about them being top five. And now the question is it a top 10 defense? Right?
And you still are open to that?
I'm open to it.
Really? I'm skeptical, I'll say that. So any closing thoughts, Jonas?
I just thought that Green Bay had a chance early on. The game actually reminded me of the NFC title game last year where New Orleans had the ball and an opportunity to really put their foot on the throat of the Rams last year, but they weren't able to convert in the red zone. And early in the game, Green Bay had two opportunities to get into the end zone and really put a stamp on that game, and they couldn't do it. And Philadelphia stayed alive and stayed afloat, and they just showed championship pedigree, and they just dug deep and figured it out.
You know something? That is the truth of football. What Jonas just said is the idea that it's only 16 games. So imagine 162 in baseball, 16. So the truth has less time to get out. It's almost like if you're trying to deceive a gal, Brad, let's say you, on a date. Right? Is first
That's
date,
a favorite.
First
a
date, you might be able to do it. Second date, maybe even for a month. But usually they figure you out and then they're out the door.
Yeah, they dump me.
Has that been the history?
So? Absolutely.
So for us, in a way, this is the NFL is Brad Powers on the third date. You know, it's a situation where, yeah, these teams can really fool us, even for the entire regular season. And Fez, I think almost every year there's a playoff team that is no better than an 8-18. Like, if you say I can take any team that doesn't have 9 wins against the worst playoff team and eliminate any playoff team that doesn't have 9 wins, meaning if you have one of those 8-8 type division champs, throw them out. If you give me the rest of the league, I'll take the best team and have a better team most years than a playoff team.
Agreed.
Because it's just a couple of plays can turn the 8-8 into 9-7, if not 10-6. And then in a given game, it's how do you do in the red zone? Those are the 4-point plays, right? And then it's turnovers. And in the long run, that evens out, but there is no long run in the NFL. Last thought, Fez.
Last year was an aberration. It was the first year that best 16 teams all made the playoffs. That's the first time it's ever happened in my power rating.
Now, here's what's fascinating about that. He said that at the end. At the beginning, it was like somehow God came down and told him who the best 16 teams were. But in this case, he, Steve Fezzik, was God. When we come back, as crazy as that sounds, when we come back, it's back from last year. Every game on Sunday, we're going to give you 1 minute about what matters most in that game.
That's coming up next. He's RJ Bell. I'm Jonas Knox. This is the pregame show you always wanted right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
I'm RJ Bell. We are Straight Outta Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, voice of You, the Fan. Coming up here in just a couple of moments, we will take a look closely at each game in the NFL this upcoming weekend.
Yeah, hours of handicapping distilled to a minute or less of what matters most, what the other shows aren't talking about enough. Thanks for joining us, Straight Out of Vegas. You can listen to 200 Fox Sports Radio stations across the country. Also, foxsportsradio.com, iHeartRadio app, Sirius, and podcast. Just search for RJ Bell. Right now on the Strip, 90 degrees, the neon is pumping.
All right, guys, let's get it started. We look ahead to the games in the NFL this weekend, and we start Sunday, 1 Eastern time in Houston, where the Texans are a 4-point favorite hosting the Panthers.
Yeah, I tell you, this is one where I think the quarterback situation, it was a seesaw. It was a boomerang. So, Fez, let's go back to last week. One of our picks in the Super Contest was Carolina. Now, the reason we thought so was we thought the market was overvaluing Cam Newton. How much do they value Cam Newton?
4.5 points.
Okay. 4.5 points.
That's my number versus a healthy Cam Newton. But the market valued it like 2 points.
So let's start over. All right. Stop that. Stop. Oh, okay, here we go. We're going to start again. You ready?
Yes.
Okay. How much did the market value Cam Newton?
2 points.
2 points. And that was last week?
Yes.
Okay, so I'm a little confused. How did they value him as worth 2 points if we thought it was too much adjustment?
That was versus a Cam Newton that was completely
compromised.
All right,
compromised. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to turn Fez's mic off. Okay, we're going from here. So here's what happened, Jonas. Last week, Cam Newton was uncertain entering that game. That's what people missed, is the market, even on Thursday, on Wednesday, they knew there was a real chance Cam wasn't going to play. And if he did play, he'd be limited. But what ended up happening was when it was announced Cam's out, the market moved about, if I recall, 5 points, which is about as much as you could think Cam was worth in any circumstance. Now, the catch-22 is because Allen had such a good game, it seems, I'm not sure how good it was. I know the touchdowns were good. If because of that now, they're almost acting like Newton's worth nothing. It's like this crazy boomerang. So really, you cannot bet this game without acknowledging the valuation on Allen at quarterback is so different than last week. And anybody that thinks that you can gain that much knowledge from one game, just not correct. And I think it was an overreaction of Cam's absence last week. And this week, they're overreacting to how well Allen did in the game last week.
Next, we go to the AFC North, where the Baltimore Ravens are now 7-point favorites hosting the Cleveland Browns.
To me, this is about one thing: Baltimore's ability to get pressure. Because what we know is right now, though Baltimore's defense, some people will say it's overrated. I think it probably is overrated. But what I know for sure is they're number one when it comes to getting pressure on the quarterback hits. Now, the Browns, weak O-line, we know that much. And here's what we know with advanced stats. Not yards per attempt in this case, but in 37 quarterbacks with enough throws, Mayfield is 33 when it comes to passer rating under pressure. So what's happening here is he's under pressure, Mayfield, not doing so well. We know Baltimore's going to get pressure. So to me, we'll talk next week if it happens about Mayfield and some of the bad habits he's getting when he is under pressure, but he's not good under pressure. He will be likely against Baltimore.
Daniel Jones and the Giants are 3-point favorites hosting the Redskins.
Yeah, so Fez can't talk about this, but he made a great point last week, which was Daniel Jones probably coming in with all the uncertainty was a downgrade week one over Eli. Now, I agreed with him. Now, what we saw from Daniel Jones obviously was impressive. So about a 2-point upgrade, let's call it. And that's what Fez thought. He can't again say. You agree, right, Fez? See? Can't even hear him at this point. So what ended up happening was that you have to add in +2 to the Giants. You're thinking, oh, that sounds juicy. But now Barkley's out. And Barkley's probably the most valuable running back in the NFL right now. And because of that, with Barkley specifically out, you could almost say it's a wash, meaning I was on New York radio and I asked him, would you rather have Eli with Barkley or would you rather have Jones without Barkley? And it was a 10-minute discussion. No one could figure it out. So to me, I think net-net, yeah, reason to be excited for the Giants long-term, even mid-term. But without Barkley, I'm not sure this Giants team is much better. And what we know for sure is Washington looked horrible, which means no one wants to bet him this week. I actually like Washington in the game.
The Chargers are on the road at the Dolphins. L.A., a 14.5-point favorite.
Yeah, that one's down. It was 16 earlier in the week. Biggest road favorite ever for the Chargers. And they're 1-2. How bad are the Dolphins? But that's the question. If you look at this historically bad team, and net margin is the worst after three games of any team in the Super Bowl era. But how much of that bad performance in week 1 and 2 for the Dolphins was about a lack of effort? I think if you watch the Ravens game, they did not have great effort in the second half of that game. Now they're getting so much attention for being bad. I think they're playing hard. And because of that, I think Miami, clearly the worst team in football, is underrated. I like them this week.
The Colts are hosting the Raiders. Indianapolis, a 6.5-point favorite.
To me, this is all about meticulousness. And if you can say that word correctly, like I did, that's a sign you are. No, maybe not. But to me, it's an early start time. That hurts the Raiders in general. Then if you just look at Gruden, 1-8 on the road in his time with the Raiders, straight up, 2-7 against the spread. So not very good on the road. Now it's a 10 a.m. start. And oh, by the way, next week they play in London. So to me, this is like a nightmare for the Raiders. It doesn't seem so bad, but that London trip for next week, and I'm not sure. Feds, I'm going to turn your mic on 1 second. Just say yes or no. Do you know if they're flying directly to London?
Yes, they're flying to London.
You see how he slipped in? But the fact he got it right is fine, but Mike still goes off. Okay, so think they had a double pack, Jonas, and it's something that, have the Raiders ever done that? Has Gruden ever done that? I think it's a real negative.
The Kansas City Chiefs and the Detroit Lions are both undefeated, but it's Kansas City, a 6.5-point favorite at Detroit.
You know, I've been just salivating thinking about Mahomes in a dome. Now, he hasn't played a regular season or a postseason game in a dome yet, so we find things that are adjacent, things that are similar. 4 games in a dome in college, 492 yards a game. Now, his regular other average in college was 126 yards less. So he threw for an extra 126 in a dome. Also, in the preseason, he had a dome game and actually had over 11 yards per attempt. So in general, it looks like the dome is going to be great for Mahomes. But I did one step further. I thought, well, what's the closest to a dome? Let's say outdoor but on turf. He actually has his worst passer rating outside on turf. Away on grass, 123 for Mahomes passer rating. Away on turf, 106. So I'm optimistic, but I think that last piece of info about him on turf away from Kansas City maybe causes you a little bit of pause. One other thing about Kansas City, first 5 games of the year, and this is in 17, 18, 19. Last 3 years, weeks 1 through 5, Kansas City 13-0 straight up, 11-1-1 against the spread. The one loss was the back door by the Ravens. Andy Reid early in the year, be careful betting against them.
The Patriots are at the Bills. New England is a 7-point favorite.
Now, this stat's gotten around, obviously, that Belichick and Brady do really well in Buffalo, and last 15 times are 14-1 straight up. But more impressive, only 2 losses amongst the 15 against the spread. So they've exceeded expectations. I've actually got a best bet on this game at the end of the show, so we'll save the rest of the analysis for that.
The Falcons are hosting the Titans. Atlanta is a 3.5-point favorite.
Oh, man, I tell you, this Quinn, I mean, he was so close to a Super Bowl. Yeah. Think about that, Brad. You got an open mic. Think about that. Fez, what do you think? Whoa. Can't say anything. So he was going, whoa. He's like Charlie Brown's parents over there. So here's the thing. I'm really reevaluating, obviously, Quinn from the Super Bowl year, but here's an amazing stat. When Atlanta plays AFC teams, last 12 games, 0-12 against the spread. Now, why is that anything but random? If you don't play a team but every 4 years, that means that they're fresh. You have to somehow re-handicap, re-game plan. And if you're not a great game plan person, that's a big disadvantage. I think it's an indictment of Quinn, 0-12 against the AFC. Fezzik last week wanted to bet Atlanta so bad against the AFC team. Fez, did you know that trend?
I was unaware.
See?
The Rams are hosting the Buccaneers. LA is a 10-point favorite in the Coliseum.
I tell you, if you can get 10, I love Tampa Bay. We talked about Gurley here at length. Got a lot of good feedback from that segment. And he averaged last year 41 yards receiving during the regular seasons. Each game, 41 yards. 6 games since, 3 in the playoffs, 3 this year, 13 yards receiving. Combined, not per game. So to me, without the play action, Goff, he's only 4 of 17 when he throws the ball 15 yards or further downfield. So this is literally in the air, 15 yards, 4 of 17. His efficiency is 34th in the league. So when Goff doesn't have that play action, I don't think he's even an above-average quarterback. By the way, Mike Evans, he played in the earlier games, but before last week he was ill. He had like an extended flu. He was obviously scored exceptionally well and he should be healthy this week. I think people might have thought Mike Evans isn't really doing much. He wasn't healthy even though he played.
Seahawks at the Cardinals. Seattle, a 5.5-point favorite.
Yeah, to me, what's important to realize is what the stats were last week. Seattle lost the game, but it was all about turnovers. And quite frankly, it was hundreds of yards that they outgained the Saints by. Now, I'm pessimistic on Bridgewater, and we'll talk about it. And part of it has to do with Seattle playing better last week than the scoreboard. Also, quickly on the Arizona side, they've been outscored in the first half by 29 points. They've outscored their opponents by 5 points in the second. So if you do bet first half, second halves, if you like Seattle, I'd look in the first half. If you like the Cardinals, look in the second half.
The Bears are hosting the Vikings. Chicago, a 2-point favorite.
You know, I'm going to give Fez a chance at redemption. Not now, but in the last segment here in about 20 minutes or so, he likes the Vikings. I don't. I'm going to give him a chance to really step up and smack me down. We'll wait for that one.
The Broncos are a 3-point favorite hosting the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Oh, this is fascinating. You know, this is niche, but I really enjoyed this. So the Ringer had something about the holding penalties. Up until last Thursday, not this Thursday game, but last Thursday, they were calling a ton, double the holding penalties, double. Why did they do that? It was because there was a specific kind of block they wanted to stop, and it just got the refs looking for holding, so they doubled their holding calls. Brady tweeted out, "This stinks." Literally, from then on, the holding calls got cut in half, and the scoring has gone up significantly. Well, which team had the most holding calls during the first couple weeks? Jacksonville, 10. No other team had 10. So I would make the case with the holding calls being cut in half, Jacksonville benefits the most from that.
And we've got Sunday Night Football. It is the Saints hosting the Cowboys. Dallas, a 2.5-point favorite.
Yeah, we talked about Saints didn't look as good as the scoreboard last week if you look at the stats. And I think it's a lot with Bridgewater. The reality is that if you look at Week 17 last year, if you look at this preseason, if you look at against the Rams in mop-up duty or as a replacement, if you look against Seattle, he has not thrown the ball downfield. Yards per attempt is horrible. In fact, advanced metrics, yards in the air, the passing yards that stem from being thrown the ball in the air, is the worst in the NFL, Teddy Bridgewater. I think he's overrated, and I know it's kind of squarish. Oh, road favorite Dallas. I like the Cowboys here.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.